It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Here he is. You know, not just a radio personality. That's pretty funny kind of way to start the show. Anyway, you got to know why we got to have the compliance stuff. You know, if I'm listening to a radio show and I got to listen to all this stuff on the front and I'm like, get to the stuff I want to know. So that's what we're going to do now. We're going to change it up on you today because we're going to do a pretty thorough analysis for you of what could happen if Greece truly defaults, because they've hit kind of a crossroads over there. So
now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
We need to break down the Greek situation. Break it down to English for us, Scott.
It's a mess.
What do you think? It's a mess. See, the reason I wanted to do this on the show today is I have always suspected that there's just too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah,
you can relate to that. You know, you're the cook.
There are fewer cooks today. They had five finance ministers resign in Greece today over just their total frustration. Trying to get these
I was
going to
ask you if the five finance guys went on strike.
They didn't, but there's plenty of striking going on over there.
That's what I mean.
It's really a mess. You know, I feel a little bit bad for the Greeks because they spent the last 3 weeks trying to get a deal that they could agree upon themselves to show to the European finance ministers and say, all right, this is what we're going to do. And when we talk about austerity, what that really means is the cuts that they're making,
right,
the way they're going to stop their spending and get their spending under control. So they get all these plans put together. They finally agree on them. They bring them to the European finance ministers. It's not but a couple hours later before the European finance ministers say, go back to Athens and start from scratch. This is not going to work for us.
Wow. And we want it actually voted on and ratified, not just you guys saying, hey, we're going to get along.
Right. And they need it by the middle of next week in order for them to process all the things that need to be processed to get the bailout payment in March.
See, because of that, ladies and gentlemen, that's why I wanted to talk through, just so you know what could happen if they actually default. And what I mean by that, because there's all these different thoughts about, well, it could be a soft, it could be a hard, it could be a messy, it could be a controlled or orderly default, all that gobbledygook. Here's what I'm concerned about is if the European guys and gals, the 17 ministers and the folks that are going to write the check for $170 billion basically say, you're out of time, I'm sorry. You rang in after the buzzer.
Right. And then the bondholders come to the door and they say, we need our interest payment.
That's the scenario that I think we should talk through.
Yeah.
Because all this, you know, it's like a controlled free fall.
Yeah.
You know, I want to talk about what happens if you yank the chute and the chute doesn't open.
Yeah. Well, there could be a lot of ramifications. The real truth of the matter is that we really don't know, because we don't really exactly know
the details. We do know, though, that Greece will not be able, if they don't get the money, they can't make the payment. If they can't make the payment, okay, so what happens to Greece if they can't make that payment?
Well, there could be a lot of things that happen. First, I think
nobody's going to storm the gates. Nobody's going to say, I'm taking your, you know, we're taking, you know, this dome off of a building. I mean, they're just going to be out. The lender, the person who put the money up, the institution or the bank or the individual, doesn't get their money, then what?
Well, you say they won't storm the gates, but there very could easily be a run on the banks.
Okay.
Because if you're in Greece and you have this default going, you have to think to yourself, well, we might get kicked out of the euro, which means that we're going to go back to the drachma, which means I better go get my euros because we already know the drachmas.
And go put them in another bank, maybe in Germany.
Right. So there certainly could be a run on the banks, which would probably cause the Greek government to nationalize the banks. That's a pretty big step to nationalize banks. It prevents people from getting their money out, which is really, really problematic if you're there and you're trying to live your life.
I can't imagine that.
So that could be a big one. Another one that could impact us more closer at home is we don't really know how much U.S. banks have in short-term European money in our money markets. So if all these European banks are all of a sudden caused to lose somewhere in the vicinity of about $37 billion is the last estimate I saw, then that's going to have an impact on U.S. money markets. It certainly could either slow them down or cause them to devalue inside of what they call breaking the buck.
Where each unit is worth less than a dollar.
Yeah, and that's a real problem. That's what really got things going with Lehman, when things started going south a couple of years ago. Now, these are all extreme outcomes, but they're things that we have to have, you know, on the radar because they certainly do have possibilities attached to them. We certainly could be looking at a credit crunch similar to what we saw in Lehman. If banks don't have any faith in other banks, they're not going to lend them money. And, you know, it's like the old movie, The It's a Wonderful Life. They don't have all that money in the bank, so they
right.
have to borrow from each other. And if people go and they make demands on the
things
bank,
Things start to freeze up.
That is definitely a possibility.
Well, we're not going to freeze up here. We're going to keep rolling along here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take one of those classic real money short timeouts, and we'll be right back to talk about what's happening in the market.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
All right, now it is time to get into the details of what's happening in the market with
the fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
You know, Scott, that's a lot of promo you get.
In my rider.
Yeah, you don't have to thank me for that. I'm glad to do it, and you'll earn every bit of that promo.
My agent takes 10% of that promo.
Well, let's get to, we have a long list here of things to talk about in the market, and obviously market activity, we had a negative number that we haven't had in a little while, so.
Yeah, now the market really showed some pretty good strength at the very end of the day in Friday's market. The Dow was down about 150 points with about an hour to go. We finished up down 89 points on the Dow, no big deal. S&P down 9 points. Gold sold off. Interesting that gold sold off, down $20 to the ounce on gold on Friday's market. But most of that really was based around fear in Greece. Snapped a 5-week winning streak, which is, you know, a little bit bad news. But hey, a 5-week winning streak, it's got to be snapped at some point.
It does sound interesting because you would think that if there are more concerns about, you know, stability, volatility, anxiety over Greece, that people would be buying more gold.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I would have expected gold to be up today. The VIX was up. Which is the so-called fear indicator. The VIX was up pretty significantly today, back above 20. So there definitely is an increase in fear in the marketplace, which normally goes hand-in-hand with an increase in gold prices.
But so we can see a little bit more of a pullback. But I think your resilience you talk about being down over 150 in the day on Friday at down only 89 is a pretty strong indicator that there's a lot of people say, hey, things are, you know, looking better. And stock is still cheap, so I'm going to go in now.
Well, if we went back 6 months from today and we had 5 Greek finance ministers resign and we had S&P come out and downgrade 34 out of 37 Italian banks like they did on Friday, we would have seen a multi-hundred point drop in the Dow easily. But, you know, we are starting to see decoupling from Europe. Markets are moving in different directions. We're seeing some decent strength in our economic numbers here. And so I think Greece is becoming less and less of a factor than it was 6 months ago.
That's fair. Well, speaking of the strength of the U.S. economy, a couple mixed signals here I wanted to get your thoughts on. You know, the job market, the four-week moving average looks to be improving.
Yeah, the four-week moving average is a more useful number than that weekly jobless claims number, right? Because it takes out all that volatility.
Smooths it out.
Yeah, it smooths it out, and we have seen a good solid drop-off in that moving average really since the peak of the recession in the first part of 2009. So
yeah, you peaked out at over 650 claims with that four-week moving average.
That's and we're about—
That's per week, right?
Yes.
Or for the month?
No, that's for the week.
And wow.
So right now the moving average is about 366,000. So it's been a slow climb, but we're definitely making progress.
Hey, it's still 300,000 improvement.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the psychologically important 400,000 mark, we seem to be pretty well inside of that. Hopefully we won't revisit that until the next recession, which hopefully is a long time from
now. Because, you know, you get a big fat one like this. We've had this big fat recession for 3 years, I guess, we've been looking at.
Yeah.
That you would hope to not see another one like that for a long time. But what's the next big milestone? Is it 300,000?
I think the next really, truly big milestone for jobs data is when the headline unemployment rate is inside of 8%.
Okay.
That will be a big, big event.
Well, the economists, you know, there are some economists now talking about and this is actually looking at Philadelphia Reserve did a survey of 45 forecasters that said the average turned out to be that they're looking at 8.1% unemployment rate by the end of the fourth quarter
of this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's good news for the president. It's interesting.
Do you buy that?
Because
I know you're skeptical about some of these numbers.
That's a pretty steep drop. And at the same time, those same economists said that they thought that GDP was going to grow at 2.3% rather than their previous estimate of 2.4%. So they shrank GDP and shrank unemployment numbers. And you know how I feel about the unemployment number. They very well could be thinking that participation rates are going to drop or something like that. There's not much context behind that number.
I see. They could be making an assumption about another part of that what makes up that number that's not making the headline.
Yeah, absolutely. But if the jobless rate is inside of 8% by November, it's going to be very hard for the Republicans to change the resident of the White House.
Well, they all have a lot of work to do, in my opinion. I'm waiting for a clear plan from both sides. Somebody tell me how you're going to grow this economy. And I want to hear it real clear. I don't want to hear, you know, hope and change, or we got to do something because things are the worst they've ever been. I don't want to hear all that rhetoric.
Yeah.
Tell me the real deal. But the real deal is we got to take another one of these really short breaks. When we come back, we'll continue our fastest five because there's so much to get on to. So it'll be a fastest 10 today. Stay with us.
What if the process of creating your financial plan was easy, hassle-free, and straightforward? What if it was conducted by a friendly professional and there was nothing expected of you in return? It almost sounds too good to be true, right? It's the way David Holland has been doing business at his firm, Holland Financial, for over 15 years. Since day one, it has been David's mission to provide individuals with practical solutions for their retirement needs. Financial planning doesn't have to be complicated or stressful. To learn more about our services, visit us at hollandfinancial.com or call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 888-747-7526.
And we are back continuing a special treat here. We're continuing our fastest five for another five. Two for five. That's good. I like that. All right, here's what we want to do. We want to get into a little bit now about this, the expectations that consumers have. Consumers have, their mood is going down. February showed that they're concerned about the economy a little bit more. But what's interesting is that there's another report out, USA Today, has Americans making more money. So I'm kind of like, well, is this some form of schizophrenia? I mean, what is this? Is this, you know, you talk about your decoupling. On one hand, they're more gloomy, but there's more income.
Well, there is more income. It's an interesting number, though. You know, I love to go on things like BEA.gov, which is the Bureau of Economic Analysis, and really see the actual report, which I hold here in my in my little hand.
I'm sure our listeners do that all the time, Scott.
It is fun. You get to see the numbers behind the numbers. And the number behind the numbers, the personal income is up. There's no question of that. It's up about 0.5%. But going hand in hand with your question, personal outlay is down. So people are making a little bit more, but they're not spending it. They're actually spending less than they have been spending, which goes hand in hand with a decreased consumer sentiment number. And the consumer sentiment number that we got today was still a pretty decent number.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, but it was lower than maybe what they thought.
It was lower than what they thought, but it too is a diffusion index. So the higher we see that number away from 50, the better. And it's at 74 or so. So it's not a terrible
number. That's not
bad. But, you know, Greece has been in the headlines
I think also you mentioned that, you know, the fact that people are, the income is up, but they're not spending it. I think that's a little bit of that bunker mentality that people develop when they see some of these worries.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'll just sit on my cash. I won't spend as much. I'm not as confident. And then, of course, the retailers feel that.
Yeah, the retailers definitely feel that. And I think part of that also is the fact that, you know, there still is some uncertainty in the job markets out there. We're seeing major corporations announce layoffs. And if you work for a company that you think maybe is going to go through a wave of layoffs, you save instead of spend. So I think there's a component of that as well.
Well, that income increase for the household, average household median, which is, you know, if you do an average, it's the point right in the middle. Median income increased to $51,000 for Americans. And based on the data I shared yesterday, that means they would be paying 7% or less income tax rate, not 30% as being misreported in the news. Okay, I had to get that in there.
Yeah.
All right. All right. And speaking of being misquoted or mischievous activity, there's a report out of a hedge fund manager being charged with insider trading. A California hedge fund manager surrendered to the FBI, according to Reuters, on insider trading charges. And the reason I mention this is that I think we need to mention this so that people know that the FBI, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the different forms of regulators or criminal prosecuting entities are doing stuff. They're not sitting around, you know, hoping that the bad guys will just walk in their front door. They're actually out there working and rounding them up and taking care of business.
Well, this particular arrest is another offshoot of the big, huge arrest that was made last year of Rajaratnam of the Galleon Group.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Who was in prison now for 11 years. So there was Mr. Whitman ran a venture capital fund in California, and he is accused of making a lot of money on trades of Google, Marvel Technology, and Polycom on insider trading information. And the accusation is that some of the people who were giving Mr. Rajaratnam his information were also giving Mr. Whitman some of his information. But all this wiretap stuff, and the big key was wiretaps. The FBI finally got the permission to wiretap these guys on insider trading cases. It's really bringing down a lot of heavy hitters.
They heard a lot of canaries singing.
Yeah, I mean, we had a board member at Procter & Gamble who was involved in this. These are really big-time players.
I don't get that. You know, these guys, they get to the top, and then it's almost like they're so far up there. You know what it's like? It's like being up on a very tall building, like 20, 30 stories. And you look down, and everybody else appears to be ants. And maybe that really penetrates their psyche, and they really feel like they are bigger than life, and they are bigger than the rest of those small people down there.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, it can't be about the money. Certainly for Rajaratnam, it couldn't have been about the money. This guy ran a fairly small firm at about $120 million in assets. So, you know, that's not what I would call a huge, heavy player, but he did some really, really bad things, and if they convict him of it, it looks like he did some bad things, and if he's convicted of it, he's going to go away for a while.
That's a shame. Well, they got to do what they got to do there. All right. Well, Scott, that is a sufficient coverage of the Fastest Five times two. I will let you return to your portfolio management duties over there at Holland Advisory Services, a division of Holland Financial.
That's right.
And we will continue in just a moment with some of the other things I would like to share with you today. Stay tuned.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 on WESH Channel 2, starting February 20th.
All right, welcome back. What will we do next? Well, what we're going to do next is I'm going to share with you some super top secret stuff.
The following top secret message is ready for declassification.
Well, it's not really top secret. You know, I like to have fun with my little segment intros. Actually, you know what it is? It's more of a lack of clarity and understanding that a lot of people have about planning for their retirement and how they're going to get what they need to happen, whether they are 10 years away, 15 years away, or they're in the thick of it. They're in the middle of their retirement, and they're trying to figure out how to make the right choices amongst all this stuff that happens in the stock market, low interest rates, all this stuff that we've been dealing with. And, you know, I ran across a really good way of looking at some of the things that you need to consider when you're thinking about how you're going to get your retirement income. And let me see here. This is from Allianz, one of the insurance companies that they do a lot of work with retirement income products. And this is pretty clever what they came up with. They call it the four C's of retirement income. And of course, guys, anybody that is, you've been involved in that marriage process and you know all about the ring and the diamond, the four C's obviously applies with diamonds as well: the cut, clarity, carat, and color. And so they've adapted that, and I like what they've done here. The four C's of retirement income strategies are clarity, comfort, certainty, and cost of living. So I like the comfort part. That's very important. When I bought my bike that I ride, not every morning, but a lot of mornings, I told the guy, I said, I want three things from this bike: comfort, comfort, and comfort. So that helped determine a lot of what I got with my bike. Well, comfort also is very important for determining how you figure out your retirement and what you're going to do. And again, it's a lot to do with your level of tolerance for risk and these things that we talk about, because you know what? No matter what, even a diversified portfolio is going to have risk and it can make you uncomfortable. So comfort's very important. You need to know what you're comfortable with. Now, clarity. How much income do you need in retirement? A lot of people aren't really clear on that. What sources of income do you already have? Are they assured? Are they certain? Are they guaranteed? Are they going to happen no matter what? Again, what's your risk tolerance? How much risk are you willing to take? And you know, a lot of people don't really know what their risk tolerance is, and that's why advisors that do a thorough job ask a lot of questions. What happens if this happens? What if it happens if that happens? And, you know, it can be involved, but it's why they do it. How many years could you live in retirement? Well, I don't know how long I'm going to live in retirement. Well, let's talk about your family. Oh, well, you know, my mom just turned 96, or my dad just celebrated his 102nd birthday. I saw that in the paper for a gentleman. So, you know, this is something you have to think about, because the longer you're going to live or potentially live, that'll have a big impact on how you need to plan your retirement. And do you want to leave any money to heirs or charities or organizations? If you don't have any children or you don't have any heirs, or you may want to leave something to a charity, those are all factors that you need to think about with your retirement and how you want to plan it. Obviously, if it's important to you, if somebody is really dependent on getting what's left over of your money when you're done with it, then that will have a significant impact on the types of recommendations somebody might make to you for your retirement income. And again, once you know how much income you need, you look at your expenses, you look at your other sources of income, you can look to see if there's a gap. And a lot of times there's a gap, and that gap needs to be filled. If your expenses are $2,000 a month and your sources of income are $1,500 a month, well, then obviously you need $500 a month in income to supplement what you've already got. Where does that come from? Well, that's what needs to be figured out. How are you going to get that so that you don't have to worry and toss and turn and wonder if the market's going to be up or down the next day? Of course, you want to avoid that dollar cost averaging I talk about. Are you going to be able to make sure that if inflation kicks up and returns to what it has been historically for the last 30 to 50 years of 3 to 4%, then you want to make sure that you've got some opportunities for growth in whatever strategies you take with your investments and building a retirement income plan. So all of these things are important parts. They're the four C's of retirement income strategy planning, And just like a diamond, you want it to shine and last you a lifetime and not break. So that's why that is important and wanted to share that with you today. All right, another quick break. We'll come back and I'm going to give you your 2-minute warning.
Are you gambling with too much money invested in the stock market? How can you tell? It's simple. The rule of 100. Take your age and subtract it from 100. The result is how much you might want to keep in the market. The rest should be off the table, invested in something safe. Every rule has an exception, but the rule of 100 is a good starting point to determine if your portfolio is out of balance. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
This is your 2-minute warning.
All right, time for the warning. I'll even give you a little more than 2 minutes today. Here we go. All right, I've got a couple different things I want to talk about. First, the warning. In fact, let me tell you where I'm coming from here. I have the luxury. We talk about the inside scoop and the top secret stuff. But all that aside, I kind of pay attention to what's out there and what other financial people send out or what they do in the mail and what they do. And conveniently for me, my parents live in the same community as I do. And so I see them on a regular basis and they get a lot of things in the mail too. And so conveniently they'll have a stack for me of anything they've received from an advisor or broker or what have you. And I can review it and see if there's anything that is, well, it's good to talk about something that I might alert you to that I think is, you know, questionable. Like the other day when I talked about the fact that somebody come by and hung a little door handle paper thing where a financial person wanted to stop by and knock on doors, and introduce themselves to their people in the area. And I shared with you, which I'm sharing again now, that I think that's absurd. I think it's ridiculous. Leave me alone. I'm in my home. If you want to send me something to mail, send me something to mail. But you're going to go door to door knocking to introduce your investment services. You know what? What would you think if a doctor or an attorney did that? What would you think of that? And I guess that's really my beef and frustration that you hear me sometimes get on my soapbox about financial people is I want them to be professionals. You know, I want to conduct myself as a professional. I guess I don't like the idea that other financial people sometimes don't come across as professional. So I guess that's it. There are a little psychoanalysis on David here. But as I get these things, I look at them and a couple things that pop out. This one my parents got here recently. They got from a broker and it talked on and on about investing. And again, here there was something that jumped off the page. One of them was, where is it? This is really good. Here we go. A little asterisk in ultra. I think the font size must be like 2 points. I mean, I don't have to use reading glasses yet. If I hold it back a little bit, if I get too close, I can't see it. But the bottom little point, here it is, hidden way down here at the bottom in micro font. Diversification and strategic asset allocation do not assure profit or protect against loss in declining markets. So in other words, even with diversification, you can lose money. And I agree. Now, diversification can help. For example, if a particular sector of the economy, like we saw in the early 2000s, technology stock took a more severe beating than the overall market. The overall market still got beaten up pretty bad. But there were times during that period that technology stocks really got walloped. So diversification can help with that. You don't put all your money into technology stocks. You diversify. But if the whole market goes down, or if we have part of what we talked about early in the show with Scott about having some sort of really bad ramification from a big fallout from another country overseas having difficulty like Greece or, you know, some of the other countries that are having some challenges, then the overall market, if it were to tank, well, if you're diversified, you're still diversified and in a way that is in the market and you still could lose a lot of money. So these things that come in the mail, I go, okay, well, that's interesting. Another one is this, and this was an interesting part that I'll definitely want to comment on. I'll read this to you and then I want to comment. It could be tempting to turn your back on long-term investment plan, go down the risk spectrum and perhaps even flee the market. But if you go this path, you might miss out on a potential market upswing because timing is very difficult. And history has shown that when the turnaround comes, they come fast. Well, I agree with that, but there's a couple things that I don't really agree with that we need to talk about. First, it can be tempting. So in other words, you really shouldn't do it, and it's a little judgmental, I think. not everybody should have their money full tilt in investments. At some point, you got to get off the ride. Not, you know, if you stay on a merry-go-round long enough, you're going to throw up. Okay, so that's not what you want to do when you get to your retirement. And going down the risk spectrum or even fleeing the market altogether, I think that's entirely appropriate for a lot of people. Not everybody's got the stomach for the daily gyrations. You know what else, ladies and gentlemen? Sometimes financial people get a little callous or numb to the fact that the way the markets behave and the way money's dollars, you know, $10,000, $20,000 fluctuation on somebody's account in a day, and it's a non-event. But to the person whose account it is, it matters a lot. So we've got to keep that in mind. And you really have to make sure that you have what's right for you. And if you, that means you miss out potentially on a market fluctuation or upswing, so be it, because you're missing out on the potential downswing as well. All right, Lisa's given me the high sign that that's it. Thank you for joining me. I hope you have a great time until you hear me talking to you again on Real Money.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.